If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Thanks for joining us, Peter Greenberg. Peter Greenberg, of course, from the Eye on Travel, CBS travel editor. You hear him Saturdays on WGN. How are you, Peter?
I am very good on this Friday, sir. Thank you.
Where on the planet did we find you today?
Just landed about 15 minutes ago in Atlanta.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yes.
Usually you're in Germany or Asia or the North Pole or something.
Well, I was in Germany until yesterday. Flew to New York, flew to Atlanta today. The show comes tomorrow from Las Vegas, so I'm hopping around.
You know, I marvel, I don't call you for this reason, Peter, but you're cool with that? I mean, that just sounds like a lot of work to get from A to B to me.
I live for the abuse.
Yeah, I know, and you're good at it, and we're glad that you do. Okay, a couple of reasons that we called. First of all, what's happening in the cockpit? Are airlines pressuring countries or the industry to require fewer pilots up front? We've had instances lately where pilots have been struck ill. What do you know about all of this?
Well, first and foremost, you know, we've had a two-pilot rule for a long time. It belongs to be kept. It needs to be kept. We had the incident out of Chicago that you and I talked about not too long ago, where on takeoff, the captain literally collapsed and died. And it was the co-pilot who was in the cockpit who was able to declare the emergency, turn the plane around, and make a successful landing. I mean, had there not been more than one pilot in that cockpit, we all know how that story would have ended. And we just had another incident just the other day, right, on the Southwest Airlines plane going to Columbus, where the pilot became incapacitated. Two things happened on that plane. The co-pilot took over, but there turned out to be an off-duty pilot from another airline on board, and they asked him to come up in the cockpit. He handled the radio, and everything turned out just fine. So what's happening is it's all about the money. You know it. I know it. It's all about cutting costs. And what the lobbying effort didn't go very well so far with trying to get the FAA to make an adjustment to making a one-pilot rule. However, and it's a big however, don't put it by them to not try to do it on cargo flights. And to see that they can then say, well, you see, we've operated X number of planes over X number of hours over X number of days with only one pilot and nothing happened. That's okay until something happens. And I just don't think it's going to fly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and no pun intended, or maybe pun intended. Sometimes you do puns.
Yeah.
But let's just do this then. So when the one pilot is struck ill, and then another guy just happened to be on the plane, he came up and ran the radio. But there are no instances right now. Like, we always do have two people competent to fly up front, correct?
On a commercial scheduled airliner of more than like 8 passengers, the answer is yes. There are a lot of small little commuter flights where, I'll get to fly co-pilot because there's only one pilot. They have an exemption there. I don't know why, but they do. But on any major airline that you're flying today, even if it's co-chair, there are two pilots up there.
Okay, well, I'm comfortable with that. But then the idea that somebody else from the passenger area comes up to help out, well, what do you know? We got another pilot here, is duplicative, right? Like, if there was nobody else,
really
they'd still
him.
Be okay.
Oh, yeah. You didn't need the second guy. He was just helping out with the radio to make the – look, you're heavily tasked on a takeoff and a landing. So the other co-pilot needed a little bit of help, but he could have done it, no doubt about it. They're trained to do that. Most people don't realize that half the time you're flying on the plane, the pilot's not flying. It's the co-pilot.
So is there – how serious is the pressure, though? Like, the airlines can't want that. It would be terrible if we didn't have a full and appropriate crew.
Well, you'd think so, but when the accountants take over the asylum, everybody goes crazy. If you take a look at what it costs to train a pilot and to pay a pilot with benefits, you're talking, in excess of $250,000 a year to get going. And you multiply that by the number of pilots that are required in each cockpit, you can see how the accountants would be salivating to get rid of that other pilot.
Okay. Well, boy, oh boy, the accountants will be sorry if something goes south. I mean, that last question, we'll take a break and then I've got other questions for you. But that's not gaining any traction, right? The economics be damned. That's not going to gain any traction, is it?
If there was ever a bad time to make that suggestion, it would be now. And you're right. It's not gaining any traction.
Good to hear. Okay, I won't worry about that. I do want to worry about traveling to France or other places in the world. And maybe you've got travel questions about health or communication or destinations and prices. 312-981-7200. Hey, what did you make, Peter Greenberg, of the King of England deciding not to go to Paris because, you know, he just thought the unrest was bad politics? One of our listeners asked, hey, would you go to Paris right now if you had a trip planned? What's your answer to that?
My answer is yes, I would, and I'll tell you why. Let me give you an example. Remember, the Arab Spring and Tahrir Square in Cairo?
Sure.
We all saw what happened there. Well, I was there, and I covered it. Three blocks away from Tahrir Square, nothing was going on. You could take a camel at the pyramids. You could go all the way down to Luxor. Nothing was happening. If there's a riot in Cincinnati, does that mean you can't go to Cleveland? Of course it doesn't. You need to be situationally aware. Do yourself a favor. Do Christmas early. Give yourself a present. Get an atlas. And then learn about these countries. Learn about these cities. And realize that if you took the same metrics that the U.S. State Department uses to issue travel warnings for foreign destinations and you applied them to every major U.S. city, you would never leave your home.
I think that's the point I've been trying to make, and I'm glad you made it. In fact, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but you remember after George Floyd and the unrest we had in Chicago, there was literally rioting in the streets. They would clean it up, and a few blocks away, people would be eating outside in the cafes or the restaurants. Off of Rush Street, it was business as usual. And
of course. I'll give you an example. If you read the State Department advisory for Turkey, this is before the earthquake, you know what they advise? Americans need to be warned that Turkish drivers pass on the left and the right. Have they been on the Eisenhower? I mean, the point is, this is not something that's going to keep me from going to Turkey. And yet Americans get very afraid when they hear those three words, State Department advisory, that they don't go.
Let's talk to Paul. You're on WGN Radio. How can we help you, Paul? You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, guys. I was wondering, looking to go to the Mediterranean for about 2 weeks, and I was trying to figure out if my wife and I would be better off to take a two-week cruise or just to go over, like, to Italy and spend 2 weeks and travel around Italy, just going through the countryside and trained and whatnot.
Well, you didn't tell me when you wanted to go.
I'd like to go the first week in September, hopefully this year.
Okay, you picked the magic month. You may not have known that, but that's the magic month in the Mediterranean. It's the best time of the year to go. There are no crowds. The weather is great. And if you don't mind driving or taking the train, which is even a better option, then take 2 weeks, get yourself a rail pass, and go through the Med.
How comfortable are you driving around there? Like getting a car, steering wheel, lanes are different. How comfortable are you doing that?
You remember the movie Gumball Rally? You remember that movie? There's a famous line in that movie that said, "The first rule of Italian driving, what's behind me is not important." No, I'll take the train, thank you.
Phil, are you going to be able to drive around there on your own like that? Are you comfortable?
Well, it's Paul. I would think so. Otherwise, I would think so. I mean, I wouldn't want to drive the cruise ship, but I could think I could handle a car, no problem.
All right. Well, have a good trip. I appreciate your advice on that, Peter. You know, I'm partial to the cruises. Brenda and I, in fact, are in a few weeks leading a WGN Radio listener cruise. We're going to be Athens to Rome. And I'm really looking forward to that. And the beautiful thing about those cruise ships is you only pack and unpack once. And the line we're going to go on is all-inclusive. You know, you don't have to worry about tips or sodas or excursions. It's all rolled into the price. So you pay for it up front, but then you completely relax. And
listen, anytime you can be on a cruise ship and not have to go to your wallet, count me in.
Amen to that. Let's pick up a phone line for Terry. Hey, Terry, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Peter, got a question for you. Planning a trip, a sea kayaking trip north of Cabo San Lucas between La Paz and Laredo. And I've got a friend whose family is telling her that Mexico is too dangerous. And I keep telling her, not in the area that we're going. So I'm just wondering if you can address some of that. I know you briefly touched on that a minute or two ago, but specifically Baja Peninsula.
Sure, I'll do that even more specifically. There are 32 states in Mexico. The U.S. State Department has warnings that are really bad warnings, the level 4 do not travel warnings, for 3 of those states. It just happened to be on the border with Texas, and they're not exactly frequented by American travelers on vacation. Where you're going, I first went to Mulegé back, I don't even tell you how old I was, and I've done the kayaking trip. You have Mulegé, you have Loreto, it's beautiful. They've grown in size from the little fishing villages they were, but you know what? The infrastructure is there. You're going to be just fine. The only thing I'd suggest to you, and I would suggest it to anybody, is do not drive at night, because they have a little bit of a problem with drunk driving. But you're not going to be driving at night anyway. You'll be at your resort. You'll be relaxing, and maybe you'll be drinking at the beach. But the point is, other than that, I would have no trouble.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
Terry, thanks for the call. You bet. Have a good trip. By the way, John Williams, please ask Mr. Greenberg to generally comment on how easy it is to use the Ireland train system to tour the island. Somebody wants to go there. Could they do the train, Peter?
They can do the train. In fact, the Irish and the Scottish have some wonderful luxury trains as well. Listen, I'm one of those people who I'm not a big believer in reincarnation, but I actually believe, call me crazy, that I lived in Ireland in a previous life. That's my love affair with that country. My best definition of where I like to go in terms of my best destinations is where I sleep the best, and I sleep the best in Ireland. So you're going to have a great time, and you can do it on the train.
Brendan and I had the good fortune of, on a Steve Bertrand trip, going from London to Edinburgh on the train, and that was a treat. That was a highlight of the trip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've done a good job there. Just make sure you're not going during any kind of labor strike. But other than that, if the train's running, you're on it.
That's what my advice was to the woman who was worried about going to Paris. I said, well, I wouldn't be worried about the protests in Paris. They're always protesting in Paris. I would worry about if there's a cab strike or something like that. That would impact your life.
Exactly. But you know what? Having been there doing a lot of those other riots and demonstrations, it doesn't bother me in the least. And not only that, you'll get a reservation very easily at a great restaurant.
Hmm. Hey, it's good to talk to you, Peter. We'll be listening this weekend. Continue to travel and continue to report. Thanks for helping us out today.
Anytime, sir.
Peter Greenberg with all kinds of hopscotch stops from Germany to Las Vegas. I think he said he was in Atlanta just now. By the way, speaking of travel, I said I'm partial to the cruises, and Brenda and I cruise with Kelly Cruises, and Lisa Dent is doing a trip to Alaska, and I think you can still get on. And that's going to be a really good one. If that's on your bucket list, kellycruises.com. Steve Bertrand does a lot of trips in Europe and in England and Ireland as well. And his trips are always so well organized, too. SteveBertrandTravel.com.